Don't say anything. If you're not going to take action, shut your mouth and figure out how to take action.
Well,
wow.
It's raining.
This is
Joe,
amazing,
it's raining,
Joe.
Or there's traffic.
So what? I don't care. If you say, give me your word that you're going to get it done, you will figure out how to get it done. You will sell or die.
Where do we start this? And the answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sell or Die. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling. And to my immediate right,
I'm Jen Glackow, founder and CEO of Sales in a New York Minute.
Wow, this is kind of an exciting time for us, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Let's check. Are we still number one on Overcast?
No, I don't want to do that. What I want to do, I want to talk about what we're going to talk about today so that the audience, people that are out there, they're cranked for the show because it's going to be really, really good.
Okay, but for the record, I just checked and we are still number one on Overcast podcast app. So continue to like us.
Yeah, download
Thank
it.
You.
No, download it. Overcast on your iPhone because it doesn't work on any other phone.
Yeah.
And then just rate us, you know, just give
just
us one
give
of those
us that
little,
star.
Give us the star. And thank you, by the way, for those of you who did, thank you very much. In the meantime, what's going on in your, you want to talk about your world? Or you want to talk about who our guest is today?
Well, let's just give them a preview. We have a really exciting guest today, Joe Applebaum, and he's the CEO of Ajax
Union. Very
well
pronounced, by the way.
Thank you. I practiced.
Ajax Union is a digital marketing firm.
Yep.
We've known Joe for a pretty long time, and he is an Inc. 500 guy. He's an Inc., you know, we'll do the formal intro, but he's Inc. 500. The marketing agency is incredible. It's in that industry city over there in Brooklyn, which is a 100-year-old building that I'd say 20 years ago was inhabited by rats.
Well, it's a really cool place now.
It's gentrified.
Joe has been on our show before, but he's back this week to tell us about what to do once you're successful and how to stay successful.
How do you stay successful?
Well, I always am, even if I reach a point where others may consider it successful, and mm-hmm. I may consider it successful mm-hmm. too, mm-hmm. I'm always striving for that next level. And in order to get there, I am continuously learning. I think that that's one of my biggest ways.
I'm going to throw something at you right now. Most people, they look at their climb up the ladder as something that happens pretty organically over a period of time. But right now we're in the middle I don't want to date the show, but we're in the middle of this Hurricane Harvey disaster, and people are being called upon to do more heroic things and find out who they really are on a gut level, not on a corporate level. You know, the rain, people are on their roof waiting for a boat to come by. People are literally swimming to safety. Some people, unfortunately, have passed away. It has been a group effort of rescue that knows no color or creed or party or, you know, I mean, they get on the boat and they go, did you vote Democrat or Republican? No, they just get on the boat. And that level of resilience of how they react and respond to this situation tells who they really are as human beings, not who they are in a corporate environment or a job environment.
Well, it's amazing because in the job environment and corporate environment, it's dog eat dog and it's competitive.
And politically correct.
Of course. Yeah. And it's you're not there thinking, let me think about how I can help the other guy. Let me think how I can rescue the other guy. The other guy's flooding right now or drowning right now. That doesn't happen.
Right. Well, let's put it this way. It's what you wear in the corporate environment. And you don't really give a shit what you wear when your house is being flooded and you have to get into a boat. You're not, let me put my best shoes on. No, just let me get out of here alive. And let me take my kids with me. And let's get the dog and the pictures of my mom and dad, you know, the things that matter.
That really matter. So do you think that corporate environments should have more of this, let's all help each other kind of mentality?
No, it'll never work. You have to
it's
have a
disaster. It's working right now.
Yeah, because there's a disaster.
Okay, but there have been disasters in other companies. So let's talk
there
about
There are, and the rats leave the ship. Yeah, Wells Fargo.
Major disaster. Did they join together to help each other? No,
they didn't at all.
In fact, what if they had, though?
They're still hiding stuff and the stuff is still coming out.
But what if they had to say, you know what, let's fix this. Let's genuinely fix this.
They're too concerned with their persona and their shareholder value than they are with their corporate diligence. And that was proved over an extended period of time. And I don't think you're going to right that ship in a real long period of time. Last night was our kids back to school night, and I sat next to a Wells Fargo guy whose kid happens to be in Gabrielle's class. And he said it's going to take decades for them to recover. And he's sitting in the offices.
Yeah, but think about the parallel there. It's going to take maybe decades for Houston to recover, too.
Yeah.
Okay, but they're helping each other, and there are people rallying all over the country to try and help them. That doesn't happen in corporate world.
I don't think anyone's going to donate to Wells Fargo's fund, though.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to donate to Wells Fargo's
fund. No.
Yeah, Wells Fargo's going to have a fund me page.
Well, Wells Fargo is going to be donating to everyone else. Yeah. Let's just say that.
They may pay interest, but there's going to be a lack of interest. And I think that I think though that there's still going to be creeps in the Houston thing. There'll be the contractors that are scurrilous. There'll be the looters that are going through. I saw yesterday where people are disguised as federal agents and tell people to vacate their home so they can rob it.
That's so messed up.
Oh God!
That's so messed up.
Those people should be hit in the face with a shovel and then shot. But
you don't feel strongly about it at all.
No. But what I think is that the key here is, what is your resilience factor? Mm-hmm. How do you, whatever happens to you, how do you react to it? How do you respond to it? And how do you recover from it, whatever it is? And that is the true test of who you are. Maybe it's a snowstorm. Maybe it's people laid off.
Yeah, well, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about overcoming objections, and it's the same thing. How resilient are you every time you get an objection?
Somebody says, I want to think about it, you go, oh, crap. Right.
Oh, shit, you want to think about it. Well, now I've really lost that sale. No, you have to be resilient. Now on to the next.
Yeah. I'll take the first five or six no's, and then that's it, bud. I'm not taking a no anymore.
All right, so let's get into the show, Jeffrey.
Okay, cool. Before we get to our interview today, I want to take a second to tell you about a service that I absolutely love, and it can help your business. It's called Owler.
Owler is the crowdsourced competitive intelligence platform that a million business professionals use to outsmart their competition, gain competitive insights, and uncover the latest industry news and alerts.
And here's the best part. If you sign up for free, you can follow me on Owler and automatically get my latest sales tips and videos, along with insights relevant to your business. Go to Owler.com and in the search box, you type in Buy Gittimer, then just click on the yellow star and follow me. Owler is completely free to use and valuable. Come on, follow me. Go to Owler.com today. Let's talk about Joe Apfelbaum, who is a great guy, a great CEO. I don't want to spill any beans, but he'll be writing a book soon. And please help us welcome the great Joe Apfelbaum. We are literally thrilled to have a guest whose last name is very difficult to pronounce if you don't understand it. His name is Apfelbaum, but a lot of people call him Applebaum because they are lazy and don't want to learn how to pronounce things.
Or read.
But Joe is an easier name.
Yeah.
Correct? So we're going to go by Joe today. Joe is the founder and the chief executive officer of Ajax Union, a digital marketing firm. But he goes way beyond that because Joe is a dietitian. He is an exerciser. He is a believer. And he is a devout person in charge of himself. And we're going to talk to Joe today about what makes him tick and how he's helping other people tick, talk.
Joe, welcome.
Joe, welcome to our tick talk.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here again. They say that when you have somebody here for the second or third time, it's either because you did a really bad job and they want you to do better.
Or we need to tape over. Yeah, we're actually re-recording over your first piece because we're trying to save on digits.
Yeah. Saving on the bites.
So you've lost the weight. You've run the company. You're in the Inc. You're in the Inc. 500 company again. What's happening next? What's new and what's next?
So when you grow as an individual and you see a certain level of success, and I can say, looking back at my life, I'm in my 30s, I'm 37 years old, and looking back at my life, I feel like I've reached a certain level of success that my parents were never able to reach, not financially and not also emotionally and not also with relationships and with people. And once I am complete with myself as an individual, what's next? Because, you know, you made the money, you built the business, you made the impact, you have the family, you have the friends, and then what happens? And a lot of people that win the lottery or that win life, then they end up killing themselves or they end up becoming depressed because they realize that life goes on.
Or addicted to something. Opioid heads. Mm-hmm.
So what can I get addicted to? If I'm going to get addicted to something, what can I get addicted to? And I realized that the most fulfilling thing that I personally can get addicted to is helping other people. And how can I do that? So I started looking around, and I was speaking to the manager of one of the Marriott hotels here in Charlotte today, and I was like, tell me, like, what inspires you? And he's like, what inspires you? So I said, well, I thought maybe going to an old age home and helping older people would inspire me, you know, volunteering or whatever it is. And then I realized it doesn't really inspire me because a lot of the old people that I meet are a little depressed, and it's not so inspiring. So then I say, okay, fine. What am I going to do? I'm going to go to the hospital and meet sick people and try to help them. But sick people, there's a lot of people doing that. And then I said, what do I really just love doing? Whenever I meet anybody, I usually love helping them be able to create 7-figure breakthroughs in their life, which means taking every area of their life and not just going to 5 figures or 6 figures, going to 7 figures and really being able to take their life to the next level, because people are going around and they're living with a lack of power. They're living with a lack of freedom. They're living with a lack of vitality. They're living, but they're not really living. They're surviving when they could be thriving. Every human being has the ability to thrive. And we were talking about artificial intelligence before. Our brain has intelligence, and we have a different filter that we could put on, a different algorithm that we can use. We can use the survival algorithm, or we could use the thrive algorithm. And if you're running in scarcity, if you're running in survival, then there's never enough. There's never enough for me. There's never enough for you. There's never enough for anybody. And that's how war starts. And that's how battle starts in our families and our friends and our businesses. And we're afraid of competitors and we're afraid of the government and we're afraid of ourselves because we're surviving. And when we could be thriving, we could be taking things to the next level. We just have to use the love filter versus the fear filter. And Jeffrey, you talk about this all the time. Jen, you talk about this all the time. Love yourself first.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if you don't love yourself, how are you supposed to love other people? It all begins first.
It is. Right. You can fake it.
It begins with yourself.
You can fake it, but at some point you're in the bathroom mirror in the morning and you're going, hey, you. And you look around, there's nobody else there.
So how do you do it? So,
or you avoid the mirror because you don't like yourself.
Yeah, you avoid the mirror. So if you take a look in the mirror, if I took a look in my mirror and I said, what do I do naturally? It's, I want to be able to take people through a maze. So when I was younger, when I was in yeshiva, the first memory that I have of being an entrepreneur is I am in the fourth grade and I'm not paying attention. You know, I got the stuff. I got it already, right? I got it. And the teacher keeps repeating it for the kids that aren't so bright in the class. So I start creating a maze because I need to, you know, keep my lack of attention in order, because what am I going to learn here? They keep teaching the same thing because they have 35 kids in the class. They keep teaching the same thing. So I start drawing a maze. And at the end, a kid comes over to me and says, that's an amazing maze. Can I have it? Can I do the maze? And I said, of course you can. Were you willing to pay for it? So he said, I'll give you a quarter. So I said, 50 cents and it's yours. And then I started realizing that people wanted it. And if you do a custom maze, I'll charge you $1. I'll make you a custom maze. If you want a complicated maze where I start from the middle instead of the beginning, and I don't even know the answer to that one, that one's $1.50. And I started making copies. And I started realizing that I enjoy taking people through a maze in life. And I realized that when I take people through a maze and I ask them questions with my curiosity and with my creativity and with my levity, I make them laugh, suddenly I'm able to impact them and I'm able to have them see something that they were never able to see before.
You want to see something you want? I'm going to just throw something else at you that I think is pretty interesting. The key word at Ajax Fusion is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, yeah. Thank you for making that distinction.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Amazing.
And that is my favorite word, amazing. But the key is here. I decided to dedicate myself to help a million entrepreneurs create seven-figure breakthroughs in their life. And I want to do this anonymously. I want to do this by them calling me. I go on Facebook and I say, here, dial this number now and I will coach you for free. I will coach you as long as you allow me to put this anonymous interview on the internet so other people can benefit from it. And I called it the Breakthrough Maze. And I help other people find breakthroughs, whether it's they're feeling a lack of freedom in their business, they're feeling a lack of freedom in their personal life, in their health. You know, I was fortunate enough to become aware that I am 80 pounds overweight. One day, I'm building my business. We get to seven figures. We double and double. And then we get to number 178 on the Inc. 500. And I'm sitting on the couch with my wife and my kids. And I start heaving. And I'm watching a video of me taking a video of the kids. And I'm like, what's the background noise? I asked my wife, what's the background noise on the video? And she's like, that's you breathing. And I looked in the mirror. And all of a sudden, I don't know how, but I've gained a pound, 2 pounds, 10 pounds every single year by just focusing on my business and not focusing on my health and not focusing on my relationship and not focusing on myself. And so I put everything aside. And you don't need to do that. If you're an entrepreneur, you just need to learn. I learned about business. I learned about sales. To become great at sales, I bought Jeffrey's books. I watched his seminars. I needed to do those things in order for me to become better at sales. I needed to learn from the great, from the kings that studied it. And that's how I learned everything that I learned. So I went out and I bought books.
I have a complicated one for $1.50.
A complicated one for $1.50.
Starts in the middle.
And you know what? You get what you pay for. You get what you pay for. So I invested in education on my health and I went to Tony Robbins and I bought the books and I learned. I spent the time listening to the podcast and learning that, you know what? Health is really all in my hands. It's all in my hands. Because if I say I can't, you're really basically saying you won't.
Correct.
So I created this
can't
podcast.
Can't means won't. I agree.
Can't means won't. So Your language is so powerful. And when people have that realization, that epiphany, mm-hmm. that it's all in your word, it's all in your word. And if you say, I'm trying to make cold calls, Jeffrey, I'm trying.
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
You're not buying it, and neither are your customers.
Pick up the damn phone.
So let's get back to this Breakthrough Maze. How are you getting these million entrepreneurs?
So what I'm going to do is I post on Facebook and I say, who wants to have a breakthrough? And 50 people comment and they say, I. So I say, okay, at this and this time, go here and you can speak to me. And they call me up anonymously and I record it. And I say, where in your life do you want to create a breakthrough? Where do you feel a lack of power, a lack of freedom, a lack of self-expression? Self-expression. Mm-hmm. Think about that. We want to express ourselves to be powerful, to share our message with the world, and we stop ourselves from doing that because we have fear. And this fear keeps us in our survival algorithm.
Is it fear based on self-image? Is it fear based on ridicule? Is it fear based on risk? All those things are part of the fear process.
It's fear. Most of the time I find it's fear based on fake reality.
Wow.
Fear based on false evidence. Write this down. False evidence that appears real. You have it in your books. You have it all over the place. You mention it. You say it. We preach it. Mm-hmm. The reality is that if you're afraid of something, hey, let me ask you a question. Are you guys afraid of snakes?
They're not my favorites.
Are you afraid of snakes?
I don't know. I guess if it was on me, I'd be scared.
It depends. If you were used to a snake and it was your pet and you were friends with it and it never bit you and you knew what to do, you wouldn't be afraid of it.
Pet and snake are mutually exclusive words.
I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
you have enough with Charlie.
You can't even get a second dog.
Yeah, exactly.
But we're not afraid of the actual snake. We're afraid of what the snake might do to us.
Yeah.
Or we might experience, which is not now. It's not real.
Well, they're not going to come up and be your butt.
Or the unknown, not knowing what it could do.
Right. Yeah. So all these unknown, these fake realities is what we're afraid of. We're afraid that if we pick up the phone and make a cold call, that we're going to get hung up and rejected or some random thing that probably will not happen because you're really bad at predicting the future.
Most people are.
Everyone is bad at predicting the future. Who do you know that's great at predicting the future?
Well, certainly not the polls.
The guy who said Trump was going to win.
The guy who said that Trump was going to win.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he was
going to
predict
the future. There were nine of those people.
No, there was one guy who's never been wrong. That guy.
And the only way that you can predict the future is if you create the future.
For yourself. Mm.
For yourself and for the people that you love. Believe it or not, we have the power
to create the future for everybody around us. But we have to stand for the people. We need to believe in them. We need to love them. We need to be authentic. We need to be real.
Starting with yourself.
Starting with yourself.
So for me, when I wake up in the morning, I go into the bathroom and my goals are on the bathroom mirror. We're doing a little podcast now called On Reflection.
I love that.
And it's a pretty cool thing. And I've tried my best to create a lesson for people to put their goals on their bathroom mirror. And that way you see what you're doing or what you're not doing on a daily basis, whether you like to look at yourself or not. You can still look at where you got to go or where you got to grow. But I think that self-image and self-esteem are the two drivers for that process. That can eliminate some fears because some people are afraid to speak in public. Some people are afraid to make contact with somebody for the first time or afraid to introduce themselves. But as Jen can attest, when we go around the country, I talk to everybody.
Yes, he does.
I don't care who they are. I'll strike up a conversation with people in New York City in an elevator.
Because you're a mensch.
Well, yes, but I also want to learn. And the best way to learn about people is to talk to them. Otherwise, you don't. Who was that guy?
So, sorry, I want to go back to Joe's breakthroughs.
Okay, cool.
What's the coolest breakthrough that you've had?
Well, somebody called. So there's a lot of issues that entrepreneurs have.
Yep.
A lot of issues. They have issues with their emotions. They have issues with their health. They have issues in their business. They have issues with their employees. They have issues with themselves and their self-esteem. But the biggest issue that I see that entrepreneurs have is with their time. I don't have enough time. Jeffrey, do you have more time than Bill Gates?
No, same amount.
Same amount of time. So why do people say I don't have time for that? I don't have time for my body. I don't have time for my mind. I don't have time to work on my business. How come other people do have time? What happens? How come they have more time?
They make it.
How do you make more time? We have the same amount of time. You can't make time.
They plan their time.
I actually have a book that I'm writing about time management. It's called You Already Know What to Do, You're Just Not Doing It.
You already know what to do, you're just not doing it. Now the question is, can you manage time?
No.
And you can't manage time. So what can you manage?
Yourself.
You can manage yourself. You can manage your priorities. You can manage your calendar.
Right.
You cannot manage time. So the big mistake that people are trying to do is they're trying to control something they cannot control. Like, try to control your wife. Try to control your husband. Control yourself. Control yourself.
That's a secret. Wait a second, damn it. I got to
write it down. If you stop trying to control things you cannot control, like the future, you will have more power. Because if you can control the present right now, people are so worried about the future. They're so resentful about the past, they forget to control the present. And instead, the past is controlling the present. They're worried about the futures controlling their present. It's stopping them from taking action. And the only way you get results in life is what, Jeffrey?
Take action.
Take action. They say you either have excuses or you have results. And most of the time, people are giving excuses. And excuses are addictive. They're highly addictive. They're like drugs.
If it wasn't for, and then there's the ellipsis after that, and then whatever follows that is their bullshit excuse.
Exactly. Don't say anything. If you're not going to take action, shut your mouth and figure out how to take action.
Well,
wow.
It's raining.
This is amazing, Joe.
It's raining. Or there's traffic.
So what? I don't care. If you say, give me your word that you're going to get it done, you will figure out how to get it done. You will sell or die. That's the option.
That's correct.
Amazing.
Let me throw two more things here. Number one is message to Garcia. You do it no matter what. So you go online, you look for Albert Hubbard, and you download that essay so you can see what the message is there. And the message is you get the job done no matter what. I have added, even if your ass falls off, to make it more impactful and emotional. But it really is all about your personal dedication, correct? Mm-hmm. You decide what you're going to do. Jen lived in New York City making sales. Did it disrupt you that it was raining out or that?
Nope.
No.
So, didn't matter.
Huh?
Didn't matter.
Right. No matter what.
Most salespeople that I speak to on the Breakthrough Maze, what I realize is that they don't even want to sell what they're not able to sell. They don't want to sell it because they didn't buy it themselves. You cannot sell something. You cannot sell yourself. I heard Jen talking about selling herself. You cannot sell yourself to do exercise if you don't value exercise more than fressing cookies. You need to value exercise because that will set you free.
That's my issue. Push-ups or Oreos?
Push-up or Oreos?
America, I'm asking you right
just
now.
Just for the record,
you
know I've what? Done 30 push-ups today.
You really?
Wow, that's impressive. 30 push-ups is a lot. And yes, you know what?
It was very
you know
and
what?
You're a girl.
I know. Anything. I somewhere have these with my knees on the floor, but.
Yeah. Got it.
Anything that you want in your life, you can have. You just need to be able to see with clarity that you are the only one creating the breakdown that you're in right now. And when you take responsibility for that, and you can have somebody, a mentor, a coach, a friend, a seminar leader, show you where you're stuck, well, then guess what happens? Now you see that with clarity that it's all you and you're able to take action. So join me on the Breakthrough Maze so you can
see. Where do they find you? How do they get to you?
iTunes, SoundCloud, go to joeapfelbaum.com or search for The Breakthrough Maze. You can find it on iTunes and on SoundCloud. And listen. You need to realize that you are amazing. You are a perfect machine created in this world that has the ability to have full power, full freedom, full self-expression, and ultimately be able to thrive instead of survive. But you got to go from one filter to the other. You got to love instead of fearing. And you have to make that choice every single day. Somebody tell me about motivation. Motivation doesn't work. Motivation doesn't work. Why? Why doesn't motivation work? Because motivation is like taking a shower.
Yeah.
You need motivation every day. You need to make cold calls every day. You need to send emails every day. You need to kick ass every day. And if you don't do it every day, you will die. So sell or die.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Joe. So, Jen, do you take a shower every day?
I do. So I take a real shower and a motivational shower.
So,
I know I just set you up there.
It's a little soapy, but I'll run with it.
No, but I do. I inspire myself. I find a way to inspire myself every day.
I sing in the shower, personally, a little bit off key.
Really?
But yeah.
You should record that. Maybe we can air it on the show.
But there have been 100 times that I have run out of the shower to write something down.
Why don't you use the notepad?
Because I want to just capture it right away. I'll just record it into my phone. But I get the idea in the shower.
We have a waterproof notepad up there.
I know.
Okay. Sounds like you need a waterproof phone now.
Yeah, exactly. See, I can do everything right in the shower.
Just make it your office.
Yeah, I'm not going to have my phone showered on, but that's a whole other issue. I think that the key here is he made the metaphor that motivation is like a shower. You need to do it every day. My feeling about that is that I draw the line between motivation and inspiration, mm-hmm. and I think if you inspire yourself, you keep at it longer.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, you don't forget. You don't need to know that you want to make sure your kid goes to the finest college or that you get that house at the beach. You know, that's your own personal inspiration for doing things. And you may say, "Well, I'm motivated to do this." No, I think you're inspired to do it. Mm-hmm. I want to be the best salesperson in my company. I want to make sure that my quota gets blown away by the third week of the month, not the fourth week of the month.
But I think a lot of people forget that they need daily inspiration. So I'm going to challenge you, our listeners, to write down what is inspiring you every single day.
Or who.
Yeah. What or who or, you know, how you're inspired.
Listen, I don't want to be self-serving, but if you go to thegittimerlearningacademy.com, you can subscribe and you can get my Yes Attitude stuff
not
on a daily basis.
No.
Or you can get the power lessons that you can listen to back and forth from your sales appointments. And I promise you, you won't be motivated. You'll be inspired because they all have ideas in there that you can turn into money.
I love it.
Did I mention it's thegittimerlearningacademy.com? I forget.
Yes, you did.
I did.
So one of the big things that he talked about in this interview was this idea of being ready for success. So,
wait a minute. Who are you?
The producer, Doug Branson.
The man behind the glass has appeared.
Wait a minute.
I thought we were
just like being invaded by.
Go ahead. That's good, Doug.
Yeah. Well, so what are some things that maybe people can do immediately after they've been promoted to make sure that they don't sink and they swim?
I know what I would do.
Go for it.
The first thing I would do is get some kind of information either from Mother Google or from a book from your local bookstore or Amazon on how I can be successful at my job. And I would start to read or start to listen, and I would start by being a student, especially if you're making a leap in your job performance. For example, if you've been the best sales guy in the company and they just promoted you to management, sales management, the first thing you have to do is study how to be successful on your job. The next thing I would do is talk to other successful people to find out how they've become successful and use those as my benchmark pieces to be able to move forward. Student.
I'm going to add one more thing. If you have gone from being a salesperson to a sales manager, something I did personally when that happened to me was I interviewed the 10 or so people on my team, the salespeople, and said, what did you like about your former manager? What did you not like? And what are you hoping for? What kind of support would you be wanting from a manager? And part of what made me so successful in that role was they knew I was now open to communication.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because most managers don't ask that.
Yep.
And they knew that I was going to have their back. I was on their team. And so if they said, I need more support in this area, and let's say it was training in communication or presentation skills or whatever, I helped them find it.
I have always felt that people who espouse the strategy that hope is not a strategy, I think that's bullshit. I think that hope is a strategy, and it's part of what motivates somebody internally to move forward. They hope that it's that they're going to get that raise. They hope that this customer is going to come through. And hope will evolve to a goal. Hope will evolve to greater action or more of a sense of urgency. So I'm all about hope.
Me too.
Yeah. I hope it's sunny.
All right. I hope this episode never has to end.
Me too. But it's about to end right now. So let me share with you. First of all, we got to thank a couple people.
Yes.
Our new voice of God, Doug Branson, who is behind the glass. All of the people that are involved in putting the Sell or Die program to number one on Overcast.
You know, there's one person we never call out, but I really think it's time.
Who?
Okay. Have you noticed we have a new logo?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's like the same logo, but it's just a little bit more amazing.
Okay, cool.
Our designer in Canada, Ashley, is freaking awesome.
Right. We're not going to give her last name because someone
wants you to try and steal her.
But let me tell you what, she's amazing, and she understands our brand, and she understands what we're trying to portray or convey to our customers, and she hits the nail on the head literally every time.
On the first time. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, she's brilliant.
Yeah, okay, so she's one of them.
Yeah.
I just wanted to throw that
okay,
in
cool.
there.
Okay, cool. And actually, my name is Jeffrey Gittimer, and I'm the author of The Little Red Book of Selling, and
I'm Jen Gleckow.
And I'm reminding you to get out there and sell something, every single one of you, even if your ass falls off.